Okay, today's daf Dalit in Masechet Shkalim. We got up to the Mishnah and Gimel and Beis.
Took the Heilige Mishnah,
Halacha Dalit. Even though we said in the previous Mishnah that we will not take away the TV sets from Nashim Avonim Uktanim in order to pay up for their Machtas Hashayta, we will accept it if they give it. We noted that this was a problem that Ben Bukhari had addressed earlier about the Kohanim, that someone who may give Machtas Hashayta without properly handing it over to the Tzibur can mess things up, because we need to use that money as public funds and not as people who try to maintain an individual connection to it. Nonetheless, our assumption is, and in fact we actually instruct them carefully in this issue, that when you're giving over money to the Machtas Hashayta, it's been given over wholeheartedly into the Rishus of the Tzibur. None of it remains attached to you with your name on it. Im shaklu, therefore, mekabli miyadam. Hanochri, leakuti. On the other hand, a goy, or a kuti, which was the that had been exchanged, the population exchange by Sancheiriv, and they ultimately became gerim, there was a question as to whether they're considered to be gerei emet, or they're just viewed as gerei arayot, that the lions that used to attack them scared them into becoming gerim, but that's not a real complete gerut. So the nochri and the kuti sheshaklu ein mekabli miyad, even if they want to give over a shekel, we don't accept a shekel. Furthermore, vein mekabli miyadam, nor do we accept from them. Kinei zavim, v'kinei zavot, v'kinei yodot, v'chataot, v'ashamot. We will also not accept any type of korbanos which are chiyuvim. Zaklau, koshim, nider, v'nidev mekabim yada. Only those korbanos which can be given as a gift, those we can be mekablim from them, because it says beferish in atera, ish is marva, even though from any human being who is no der a korban, we can accept from them. But all the other korbanos which are not given, the neder and nedava, so achatas and anasham and the various types of mechusa kippurim, are not given as a gift, and therefore we're not mekabel from them. Koshe no nidar v'nidav, in mekablim yada. Now, as far as the question of whether we will accept any type of shekel or ishtatfut in the tzorchei hamishkan, or tzorchei came Mefurash Ayadei Ezra, and the Kutim originally offered to participate in the building of the Beit HaMikdash, so they came to Ezra and they suggested that they would all give money together with the Jews in order to build the Beit HaMikdash, and they said that look, we're also going to be praying to God, this is basically a Beit Tefillah L'Cholamim, so Kamochem Kamonu Nidrosh L'Eloechem, they said, we too are going to be Mispala HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to which Ezra told them Lo Lachem V'Lanu Li, not by it, Elohim. It's not us and you who are going to build this bayit. It's us. When a davan, that's your problem. But certainly you have no role in the actual building. Therefore, we will not accept their donations. And the truth is, this is what I wanted to complete yesterday, because this is really one Mishnah. The next piece is a completely separate Mishnah, which simply was printed together here as one Mishnah. It has absolutely nothing to do with the other. The Elu Shechayavim Bekalabon. Truth is, I mean, I find it actually very disturbing, because we have to change gears and change gears again when we get back to Gemara, but I'll say it over this way, but it's not right.
V'ilu shechayavim bekalabon. It would be a different
Mishnah. This has nothing to do with, yeah, in other words, in the Mishnah, of course, it's a different Mishnah.
It is a different
Mishnah. Yeah, sure, there's no connection.
V'ilu
chayorim.
What? And the Gemara is coming up to Shat for the first part of the second.
The first part of Shat for the first part of the second part of Shat for the second. So, but we'll change gears just to stick with the problem with the kalabon is as follows. We'll see there's machlokes in the Gemara precisely what the issue of the kalabon is. Bipashtut. The kalabon, please speak to me after here, I have an idea. The kalabon is a bone above the collar. No. The kalabon is a exchange cost. Cost of exchange. In other words, what happens is that there's a tremendous... There is a tremendous need for machzita shekel, and because of that, there's a premium to be paid on the machzita shekel coin, so that your two machzita shekels are actually worth more than a shekel, because there's demand for this particular tzura of the coin. Because of that, if a person gets together with somebody else, saves themselves the kalabon, so they think, by giving together a shekel, where each one is chayav a machzita shekel, they're going to have to pay the kalabon to Hekdesh, because Hekdesh essentially is the one that now is losing the additional value of the machzita shekel that should have been given to them. And what you're doing essentially is you're asking the gizbar to change your combined shekel into two machzita shekels, so you pay him the way you would pay in the bank. That's the kalabon.
You have to pay Yitzurim a coin for a Chametz as a shekel?
Yeah, you have to give a Machas a shekel, because they eat it up. So therefore,
no. So a shekel for two just doesn't count.
A shekel for two counts, but it's the equivalent of asking the Gizbor to split it into two. So you have to pay in the way you'd pay a bank. Why are you going to take advantage of it? So that's the Poshetim shot of the Kalabon, according to which you would never pay a Kalabon if you pay a Machas a shekel. You only pay it if you got together to save the price by getting together with someone and paying a shekel. Now we'll see that in cases where you're giving the shekel for purposes of mitzvah, so you're paying for somebody else, you're giving a gift, and so on, and over there, so there the chachamim let up on you. I mean, the guy's already trying to do the right thing. We're not gonna charge him for the kalabon costs. But according to Rabbi Meir, as we'll see in the Gemara, there's a chiyuv to give a kalabon even when you just give a machzis a shekel, because Rabbi Meir says that the kalabon is there to match the value of the current machzis a shekel to the full coin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe, Kazeh Yitnu, Kol Over Al HaPikudim. So there was a vision of a perfect Machzis HaShekel with nothing shaved off, and nothing that in any case got rubbed away. So that means that the Machzis HaShekel has to really be a perfect coin, not simply an Over LaSocher coin. So in order to make sure that the standard Machzis HaShekel would be the equivalent of the Kazeh Yitnu, they added a little bit, and that way everybody would be Yotz. And that was the Kalabon. According to which, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, anybody who gives a Machzis HaShekel also pays a Kalabon. One as the hechrea, not as the hechrea for exchange, but as the hechrea between the rubbed and used coin to a perfect one. In which case, according to him, if you also did a combination, then you have to give two machzis, two kalabot, one for the exchange, and actually three, because you need to do one for each one of the machzis hashekel, which the Gemara is going to be medayik later. So the only ones who are chayav in the kalabon are those who have mi'ikra din, the chiyav that we would actually be memashkin them for. So if we're coming down on them to make certain that they give, we're also going to come down on them to make certain that they pay every last vestige of core of value that somehow or other Bezdin could have gotten out of this thing. But if we wouldn't have come down hard on them, so let's say Kohanim, that we wouldn't have been Mimashkin, we also let them off from the Kalabon as well. So those who are Chayavim on the Kalabon are the Levim, Yisraelim, Gerim, Lavadim, Mishukronim. Avalo, Kohanim, Benashim, Lavadim, Uktanim. So even if somebody wants to go ahead and give his coin, and he's a cotton meaning he's less than 20 years old, so then he does not have to pay his kalabon. A shokel al yedei kohen. Furthermore, somebody wants to donate money, to provide a shekel for a kohen, or al yedei aisha, al yedei aeved, al yedei katan. In all of these cases, since he's going out of his way to do somebody else a favor, this is a gift. It's not that he's lending anybody money. In such a case, it would be potter. Ve'im shakal al yedei chavero. On the other hand, if he gets together with his friend or his neighbor, and they both seek to save money by giving one coin of a shekel, so then together they're chayav b'kalabon echad. Was Rabbi Meir say? No, they would be chayav shtei kalabonot, because the kalabon isn't given for the exchange. Kalabon is given for the upping the value, and each person is chayav b'kalabon. Tomorrow we'll discuss it. What about the exchange? Hanotein sela v'notel shekel. Furthermore, if you hand over a sela coin, now the sela of the time of the Mishnah was the full equivalent of the full shekel at the time of the Midbar, and that was actually a common coin. There's a machlokis between the Shita Sagainim and the Shita of Rashi as to what exactly the value of that coin is in modern terms. It turns out that in their modern terms, we no longer use those coins, even though they were in circulation for literally centuries and centuries. But it does turn out that in our terms, the full shekel, according to Rashi,
I have a new grandson, that's right.
Oh, Mazel Tov. Very nice. In what city and country is this? Oh, no problem. We will carpet the country. So it turns out, according to Rashi, the value of the shekel in modern terms is 14.2 or 3 grams of silver. Full shekel.
This is the shekel midbar.
Yeah, that's the only shekel we're talking about.
What number have you used?
And the value of the shekel, according to the Gaonim, would be 17 grams. That would be the equivalent of the sela at the time of the Mishnah, which was the value of the shekel that we call the shekel of the midbar. The chatzi shekel, which at the time of the Gemara was called the shekel, because the shekel coin was two dinar out of the four dinar, which was the value of the sela. The sela was the four dinar coin. So that the shekel in the Gemara's terms was the machzis shekel. No, it was half of that. precisely half of that. Oh, I didn't hear. Now, it's interesting that the Ramban writes in one of his letters from his Tkufa of his visit there at Tzrol that he was in Akko. And in Akko, he found a gentleman who had a coin collector and had an actual coin in which it said shekel. He made a mistake, or there was a mistake in how the letter was copied, or was a mistake in the people who translated the copy of Ri, which he wasn't familiar with, which he said says shekel hashkalim, which doesn't say shekel Yisrael, it says actually the common shekel. And he says it weighs exactly what Rashi says it weighs, which it turns out in our terms to 14.2 grams. But the fact is, this is the common coin that we have. There's thousands of them all over the world, the shekel Yisrael coin.
From
the merit.
From
the merit. It's 4 years. And they say Shin Aleph, Shin Beit, Shin Gimel, Shin Vav, which is the shnot of the merit. Shana Aleph, Shana Beit, of the merit of Bar Kokhba. That shekel Yisrael that they put out is actually Rashi's shekel. So that's a seller. That's a seller. It's very, very, very fascinating. They had their Zionist. From a Maksa Sheker would be half.
But you were referring to this differently, and I'm burning for being slightly confused.
The Sela at the time of the Mishnah
was 14.2 according to the
which is a shekel.
Which is a shekel
of the Midbar.
But the shekel that we're counting.
The shekel in the time of the Gemara, which is not the shekel of Bar Kokhba, weighs half of that, and it's 2 dinar. Yeah.
Okay, so then a Maksis shekel that we're talking about here is half of the 7.1 or half of the 14?
Half of the shekel in the middle.
Thank you.
Plans were always the same.
We're translating his unkiyot, Ramban's and Rashi's unkiyot, into grams, because that was a common system of weight, which was in use until fairly recently. No, they didn't have one. Oh, come on, man. Alrighty, so we, in a case with two people together, we give them, they'd have to give two kabbalot. Somebody's giving a gift on the Yerushalchem. And he wrote, he's potter, but it's a loan. It's a loan, then it's a little trick that he's doing. I'll lend you money. Why don't we just give a shekel? And you pay me back next week, huh? What do you say? Meanwhile, the guy says, oh, it's a kalabon, that isn't going to work. So in that case, you'd be chash. Now, ha'achin ha'shutafim. We have an interesting situation. Terry says that the din of mice behema is only on a yof. Two people who own a behema, they don't pay a mice on it at all. And the other thing is, of course, that a father who was giving the shekel for his children, also says that does not give a kalav. Okay, so let's put those two things together. A person and a brother, his brother, is Yoresh, father's property. So as the Yerusha, the estate retains now its original halachas, whatever was given originally for the children continues to be given even now the father is deceased. So if he would give a shekel coin for his two sons, the estate now provides a shekel coin for two sons without payment of a kalav. But the moment that the brothers split, at that point they become now two separate people. And then, even if they join up together in a partnership, that's not a reconstruction of an estate. That's just like any other partnership. Now, partners certainly do pay the kalabah. So therefore, the moment, however, that they split and recombine as a partnership, they have a din of a partnership and are putter from mice. But if they didn't split and they had the father's estate, the estate was always higher than mice. So therefore, what we have is an inverse relationship. If they have a din of a partnership, so then they're putter from mice with the chayav and the kalabah. What would define that? If they split the estate. So then even if they subsequently formed a partnership, it's only a regular partnership. It would be just so-and-so and so-and-so who happened to be brothers. If, however, the estate remained whole, they never went through the process of splitting, so then legally they're not a partnership, legally they're an estate. An estate is part of a kalban, but it's chayev in maisa behema. So therefore, if they're chayev in a kalban, then by definition they have split the estate, in which case they would now be partners in an ownership of maisa behema, so then they'd be patur. But if they're chayev in maisa behema, then by definition they have not split the estate, in which case they're patur in a kalban. The kamahu kalban, what is the shear of this kalabon in terms of the full machzor hashekel that you're paying? It's a ma'or keset, 1/24th of the, in other words, it's tosefet of 1/48th, whereas the chachomim, 1/24th, rather, Rabbi Meir, but chachomim only, chatzima is 1/48th tosefet. Now, getting back to the first Mishnah, which is Afa Pishamu Ein Memashkinim Nashu Avodim Ketanim, we said that if they want to give a shekel, we'll accept it from them. Now, If you got to tell me that you'll accept it from them, obviously you're not billing them. Otherwise, it's absurd. But in the Mishnah before, we were medayik that we won't be mamashkin them, but we will bill them. So you can explain to me how we'll send a guy a bill, and then we need to say, well, if he brings the money, we'll accept it. What is that supposed to mean? Obviously, you'll accept it. Why'd you send him the bill? So that this Mishnah is ridiculous. The Mishnah is telling me, therefore, by implication, that you will not bill them. So how did the Mishnah before say you will bill them? Says, yes, to the Gemara, afa pi shamru bekapli mim. In other words, clearly, holich boa in tovim, you're certainly not going to bill them for it. So explain to me why the previous Mishnah, hacha tama tovim, hacha tama ein tovim. Well, very simple. Kan b'shei b'shtei sarot, v'kan b'shaloi b'shtei sarot. Remember that we have three dinim: Kabbalah, Tviyah, and Mishkun. We'll be the Mashkein, someone who's 20. We'll be Toveya, someone who is below 20, but is not a minor. And we will accept from a minor a donation of a shekel. There are indeed three completely different dinim. Hanochri v'hakuti omrebah. This only makes sense. The part about not accepting the karbonas from the kuti is only kemandi amar kuti kenochri. Remember, there's a famous machloket, ditfalgin. We have that famous machloket about whether kutim or gerei arayot. So Rebbe says kuti kenochri, divrei Rebbe. So we don't view him as being a true ger. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer kuti Yisrael ki Yisrael lechol davar. In every way, he has all the dinim of a Jew because he's Gerei Emet. So how could you say in the Mishnah, we will not accept the carbon from a Gerei Emet? That's crazy. It's got to be going according to Rebbe that a Kuti is not a Gerei Emet and is Gerei Arayot. Apparently, it was Koveya, the Mishnah, like himself. The Tony King, indeed, does it not say, Adam l'rabot et hagerim. So we certainly, Adam ki yakrim mikem includes gerim. Not doesn't have to be somebody who was born as a Jew. It's a human being. Mikem, it has to be someone who is mekabel adinim lahotzi samumri. But the fact is that matnit apligya Rabbi Elazar. Ein mekablim ya. Explain to me how you understand the mission. Ein mekablim ya adam kinei zavin v'savot kinei yodot. Who are we talking about over here? Talking about goyim? What do you think we're talking about? Goyim? There's no such thing as zavin v'zaveis v'nochri. They can't be. They don't have a din. That whole halacha of being a mechusa kippurim is not shaykh to a goy. A goy can't be mekabel tumah bechlal. You could be gaze on him, but he could be metame as he did in the zav, as far as you're concerned. But there's absolutely no halacha bringing a carbon from someone who doesn't have a din of a zav. So how could you think for a moment that the Mishnah is referring to nochrim? It's obviously referring to kutim. So how can Rebbe Elazar try to kvetch into the Mishnah? No, actually, the Mishnah, how would we kvetch in Rebbe Elazar's kvetch into the Mishnah? We would say the first part that says that the Nochri Vakuti Shokel Ein Mikabli Mehem is indeed true about a Nochri and a Kuti. We will not accept from them because we don't want money from them. And after all, Ezra refused to accept money from them, and that would be true even according to the Mandi Omer that they were kosher here. You wouldn't take money from them. For whatever reason, the Gemara says because we're afraid that they're really attempting to wrest control of it from our hands, and so it would depend what is done from Assyria. Made him assume, we'll see later on. But the next piece, Rebbe Elazar was claiming, the part about Karbanis could be read as referring only to Nachran. But from a Kuti, maybe a Kuti does have a din of a ger. Who's to say that necessarily the Mishnah holds, like Rebbe, that Kutim are not Gerim? To which the Gemara responds, I don't understand. How can you think, Nu Mishlei Machatos, Vashem, how can you possibly think that a Zov is a reference to a Nachran? It's got to be a reference to a Kuti. So then the Mishnah is impossible the way Rebbe Elazar is reading. So V'chiyesh kinei Zavim V'zavah is benachrim. What are you going to say? And there's no such thing. So Reisha, I should say, the Gemara changes the gears. Reisha, benachrim, the Sefer, the Kusim. According to you, you're going to be running around like a maniac in this Mishnah. Because you're going to have to split the Mishnah into three parts. You're going to have to say, okay, we begin with that Nochri Vakuti Shishaklu Ein Mekabli Mia. Okay, thank you. Next. Furthermore, the Ein Mekabli Mia Adam, referring to Kuti, the Kinei Zavin, the Kinei Zavais, the Kinei Yaldais, because otherwise it couldn't be referring to Nochri. And then Laotzi Etamuner, Hashamas, which are not Nida Venida, is a reference back to the Nochri, right? Because that's not Nida Venida. In other words, Zakal Koshi Nida Venida Mekabli Mia is a reference to what we can be Mekabli from Egoi. And then we go back to the King of Furishai de Ezra to explain why we won't accept from a Kusi, we won't accept a piece for the Beis HaMikdash. So we keep running back and forth. We start off talking about Kusi and Nochrin, switch to Kusi, move back to Nochrin, switch back to Kusi. This is a great way to read a Mishnah. Is that what you're trying to say? Is he going, yeah, actually that is what we're trying to say. Reisha Nochrin is Sefer B'Kusi. Reisha and Sefer, you're of course referring only to that, the first, of the middle. Reisha meaning Zavi B'Zavis, Sefer Nidav B'Nidav. Then we have the other reversals, which we're not even talking about. Don't embarrass me. I'll just talk about the middle piece. The middle piece indeed switches back and forth. So Cana, Reisha B'Nochrin is Sefer B'Kusi. Omer Yoga says, well, actually, it really depends on the situation. When it says you're not makabel, it doesn't mean under any circumstances. Look, if you're starting to build a Beit HaMikdash, then b'tchila, ein mekablin, you don't accept any donations at the start of the process. Lo davar mesuyam v'lo davar she'enu mesuyam. Whether they want to give a particular item, we won't accept a particular item. Say they want to donate the menorah. They want to donate one of the Kalya Orev tiles. You know, whether you put on the you put the copper tiles on the roof to prevent the crows from landing on the roof of the Beit HaMikdash. That's the problem. It's with the plaque. So a davar mesuyam, we don't want. We don't want people saying, oh, there's Howard Hughes's, that's a Donald Trump, and forget about it. That's out of the question, Michal. But we won't even accept generic funding, because we don't want them involved in any situation where they may control things. They don't worry about it, I'll take care of the $3 million for the, that you're going to need. And then, of course, okay, so we figure we got the project tied up, we don't go out to raise any money, and of course, the moment it comes time for the first installment, he suddenly discovers, he's very sorry, it'll be a little delay. By that point, the whole fundraising apparatus is kaput. We don't put ourselves into that kind of nonsensical situation. So we won't be makabel even funding.
What if we take the money in the bank?
No, we don't want control either. V'lo davar she'enu mesuyam. U'besof mekablim liyam davar she'enu mesuyam. But once we already finished the building, we'll accept funding. That is the funding that they want. I mean, it's just, it's for luxury. Because it's offered to Dakar. It's a Dakar. It is a Busha for Avedah Shemayim. The fact that the entire world seeks to be Avedah Shem is not a Busha. But something that has a plaque attached to it, we don't want their shame in it. Anyone that you want to build? Which one would you like to build?
The fourth one.
Let's hope it's not the fourth.
Isn't this after the chul?
You don't want no Beit HaMikdash. You're fooling me. You're screwed.
I got the hell. See, I'm ready.
No, you're not ready.
You're right. I probably don't, but I'll do it anyway.
Isn't this after Churban Bayit Sheni? When
is the pasuk? No, or when is the halacha?
Halacha
is for you.
Before the little bit of rain is coming down complete.
So you thought it's all over. There's no dinner binyan beis hamikdash. Now we no longer any mitzvahs. I understand. You don't know there's a hilchos beis. There's a hilchos beis abechira. How to build a beis hamikdash? Instructions. Agricultural diagrams.
Is that like Rashi's sukkah?
Just in case there's another shot in the mattress, we don't have to get binyan beis hamikdash.
It's a mitzvah up there.
But even though we don't take their money, we can hire them to build it.
Hire Arabs to build the Beis HaMikdash?
As long as we say the Baruch, as long as we say Al Pei, Kedusha is
the Pei. It's a whole discussion about the relationship of the, it's interesting. It all started with Yehuda going down to Adulami, Re'el Adulami, because that matter says that the Beis HaMikdash is referred to later as Adulam, because the Mam Zer met a Chelek in it. And all because Yehuda went into business with that. But that loss in Lava, there won't be any thought about it.
God doesn't need a
right. Anyway, right. So therefore it depends. Now it would appear that in the Braita we have a riot against Rabbi Yochanan. Matanita Polagal Rabbi Yochanan. It says that Ein Mekablimi and Hegdesh Unidaba. The Berekabayit is basically when you already have a Beit HaMikdash. So Potala Bein Mitchila Bein Besof. Indeed, yes, it means at any time it doesn't say Nafkamina. So however, it's Bilvad, it's only if you're talking about a Dabar Besuyam. That's fine with me, says Rabbi Yochanan. I'm perfectly happy with that, because I also agree that even after you have a Beit HaMikdash, you cannot give to Berek HaBayit something that is identifiable. You can give money, and that's what it's referring to. It's referring to something identifiable, in which case there's no raya against me. So it makes sense. Now, Lechora, if this is the case, so then, Plige al Rishina ben Lakish, it should, however, be a raya against Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish says, Bein Betchila, Bein Beso, Ein Mekabli Meyam anything, Lo Dover Mesuyim, Lo Dover Sheinu Mesuyim. So now, what are you going to do? What is he going to do with the Braita that says that is it talking about over here? Davka davar misuya? No. Rav Shimon looks from a bein, but Tila bein says ainav kavulian lo davar misuya v'lo davar she'ainav misuya. But what about the Mishnah? Following our Rish Lakish, the Tanya akol shavim she'no. This is the Mishnah in Erechet. It says akol shavim she'nodim v'nidarim. Over there, even though it says that they cannot be ne'arachim and they're not ma'arichim, that's in terms of the Torah's. This is very interesting. The past 2 days we've been discussing the Parshas Hashavua. There's a difference between Erechim, where the Torah assigns a particular value to a person. Those values were assigned to Bnei Yisrael. There's no to say I want the Erech of a Goy. A Goy doesn't have an Erech. A Goy has Donim, he has market value, as a Jew has Donim, which has absolutely no connection to the Erech. I mean, you take a highly skilled worker and put him on the market, he'll have a high value, even though he may be in his 70s and he does a low Erech. He may have a Donim which is a million times his Erech. That you can do. Donim you can do.
Donim is individual for each individual human being. Right?
Yeah, it's actual market value.
Erech is just the statement of the age thing of it.
Well, age and sex.
Yeah.
So, Richie? Wait. Yeah. No loop? No loop?
Loop. There was.
It's gone. Loop right out of his head.
Loop
that. Hello. Hello.
Here we go, loop. Hello.
So here it says that they can be noder and nider. Now, the thing is, if Lamaisa, they're neither, so where does that go? It goes to Berak HaBayis. Rish Lakish said that you're not accepting even a Dover Shein HaMesuyim. How can they give money to the Berak HaBayis? No, that means, no ger means that they can give a gift of a korban oil. That's very nice saying, no green. That's fine. How in the world can you be neither? Neither means somebody says, your value is on me. This guy be talking about Dover. The word nider is an absurdity. I mean, what does it mean? Somebody wants to bring the guy as a korban oil? What exactly does the word mean? So how could Reish Lakish get away with that? Obviously, it's in the context of domi, not in the context of korbanos. No, Reish Lakish will say that it means like this. Tisha Omar Yisrael, hare alai ola. A Jew says, I want to bring a korban oil. The guy hears and says, me too. Amar masha amar zeh, alai. So that we're referring to as a nider. Since the Jew made the neder, and he's including himself in it, so he was nider by the Jew. That's a loose use of terms. A bit of a stretch, but at least it's not a clear raya against Rish Lakish. Oh, yeah, what about the next piece? It says actually this is a little bit of a mistake, because this is true, that he'll maybe be among the Sachim. We'll bring that korban, even if he didn't bring the Sachim, but that's not the Ar Sugi. What it should say over here, as the Gro points out, is lo hevi iman Sachim. Suppose he didn't bring the Sachim at the time. Bezdin, the halacha is that Bezdin makes it snide that if a non-Jew brings a carbon and they don't include in their carbon the nesachim of the carbon, they don't have that concept. So then we will pay for their nesachim. Suppose this guy finds out afterwards, you know, they paid for your nesachim. Oh, he pays. I didn't know he had to bring the nesachim. He goes and he comes up and he pays back for his nesachim. So it says over there that if ehevi achakach mekablim emen, we will accept the money for the nesachim that we laid out for him. But according to Reish Lakish, doesn't make sense. The law liklei sharetinam are not the motar nesachim. This is what it should say in the sugya. Are not the motar nesachim given for kli sharet, which is berak abayi? Nimtza may be davash eino misuyam, not like the gears of here. So, in which case, even though Lamaisa, you're telling me, but all he did was bring money, which is the value of the Sachim. Okay, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a problem. According to Reish Lakish, it's a problem. Because according to Reish Lakish, he's not even allowed to bring anything for the Berak HaBayit over here if it's being used for Kalim, Kli Sharet. So then that means that his money is going to the Berak HaBayit. Whereas Reish Lakish says he can't give money to the Berak HaBayit. So how is Reish Lakish going to explain the missionary? Get about the bride. You want to drain a cup with the bride? What's he going to do with the Sachim? How about that? Says the Gemara, there's a way out of that. Because the idea over there is that, okay, so it should say Kasha L'Reish Lakish, and furthermore, again, I'm changing all of the gears here, I'll leave it to grow, right, which you can see right on the, I hope you have that tomorrow, right? So this makes this a whole together, but obviously the Taklin Charetin, who was the Talmud of the Gro, who also wrote the Parat HaShulchan, which you may be aware of, which is the corners of the Shulchan. Corners of the Shulchan is his Yerush on Heyah, which are the Dinim of Zroyim that were left out of the Shulchan Aruch. This is the corners of the Shulchan Aruch.
Gemara for this week.
He has a beautiful, if you ever get a hold of him about the Shulchan, he has a beautiful description of the earthquake in Tzfat.
1837?
Yeah, which is no, the earlier one. There's many earthquakes in Tzfat. This is earlier. Well, no, is it that earlier?
Well, this is
the Talmud, the direct Talmud.
The Ramah?
Grah.
The
Talmud of the Grah.
So, 1837.
Yeah, that might be. Oh, it's already, 1837 is a long time ago already.
That's when this show was 200 years.
Wow. Okay. So anyway, so again, he too would be before, he is Mepharsh should be also like this, of course. So they hate him, so in which case, we had Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Bon also asking. And when it says, Ne'erachim v'orchim, lo v'berek habayitinam, when you go ahead now, and you bring an erech. Okay? What is exactly is happening over there? It goes to the Berek Habayit, correct? So, hech mara tamar taman l'shamayim hu mitkaveh hu me'eleihem ein ba'im. What that means is, so obviously it doesn't really mean that there's a din of erech. It's basically a netter. So a guy wants to bring a certain amount of money. Okay? He's going ahead and bringing money, but she has no idea where this money is going. He thinks it's going to Hegdash. L'maisa, the din is, once something is given to Hegdash, it's not used for Korbonis, it's used for the Berek HaBayit, right? Because that's the halacha. But that happens automatically. That's not his determination. When we said we're not Makaba, what does that mean? It means he has in mind that he wants to give money in order to build a Beit HaMikdash, or in order to put golden tiles on the Beit HaMikdash, whatever. That we won't accept. But if he stam has in mind to give money l'shem shamayim, thinking that we're going to use it for bringing karbonis for him, which he can bring karbonis, so he thinks he'll be part of the karbonis hatziv or whatever he wants, but he gives it on your dot, here's money for Hector. What does that mean? To him it doesn't mean anything. He wants it to be used for God's work. We determine that God's work, if it's brought in the context of Nedarim, that God's work is the Berek HaBayit. So there, even Rish Lakish agrees that there's no problem. And that's the answer to the whole question that we asked about him, of the Nesachim. He's bringing Nesachim. He doesn't realize that Besdin already paid up for the Nesachim. In which case, these Nesachim are now going to be used to buy Kvishnas. It's none of his business. He's trying to fill out the money that was missing from his carbon oil, right? Okay, that's not what Rish Lakish said. We won't accept money. It's not that the money is tummy. It's that we don't want his mind and his involvement. This here, it's automatic. It's not his mind or his involvement. So Taman, just like over there, the meaning is l'shamayim u'mitkavei. He actually had in kavanah to give it stam l'shem shamayim. U'me'aleihem heim boyim l'kli sharet. It's just like over there. It was boyim l'day berek habayit. So it's the same thing. Kein atamar afacha. It's the same thing over here. The shamayim umitkaven. He just wants to pay up. And all that happens is that we determine what is done with this money that you're paying up. It's transferred to buy klisharet. What's wrong with that? Now, Reish Lakish himself, this ma'ovadla Reish Lakish doesn't make sense at all, because we just answered him, right? Ma'ovadla means, what's he going to do with that? He just did with that. So obviously we take this out, the way we read this in the previous one. Megro is not goris, ma'ovadla. And Reish Lakish patarla, so Reish Lakish now, bases his svara on the following. The meaning of the pasuk, lo lachem lalanu, livdot vayet lalehedu. Simply that. Does it say what? Does it say, if it's a Dover Mesuyim? The Pasuk says simply, look, we're not interested in doing business with you guys. You want to come daven in the Beit HaMikdash? You want to bring korbanos to the Beit HaMikdash? We have no objection to that. As you yourself said, that you also going to be Nidrosh Lelokeinu. Fine, go right ahead. But you have no involvement. Says Reish Lakish, no involvement means no involvement. Where's the lumpus over here about Dover Mesuyim, Dover Shein Mesuyim? It's a statement, Lugeres. You have no part in it. Reb Chizkia, Reb Simon, says, Sha'al Me'ata. I think, again, that with the way that the Groz Masbro, every Sha'al Me'ata in Yerushalmi, is that it means, look, as far as I'm concerned, there's no question about it, but you can go ask whether everybody else understood it this way. But according to this, clearly, Ein Mekablimihem Lamata Mayim Lachomot Ha'ir Umigdiloshea. Because the rest of the Pasuk reads, Al Shem V'lachem Ein Chelek, you have no Chelek in anything, and it mentions even in Yerushalayim. The Yerushalayim. Wow. In which case, anything that is being built in Yerushalayim, even water pipes, I don't care what it is, they can't get money for. Because if that's how Reish Lakish is taking the pasuk, then that means Dover Mesuyim, Dover Shein Mesuyim, whether it's B'tchila or whether it's B'sof, it's being koveya that we don't want their business.
Right out of business.
It's a disaster. You see the kind of things that they build. Okay, now the whole next piece, the Gra changes Hosel, okay, and takes out everything that we have over here, this Tni and so on, and inserts instead of it, please take a look in the Gra and Ot Gimel. So Rabbi Meir says that you're chayav in a kalabon even if you're giving a chatzi shekel, okay? Asks the Gemara, my time of the Rabbi Meir, what's Rabbi Meir's logic? If I'm paying by chatzi shekel, why in the world should I add an exchange fee? So Rabbi Meir, hashokel shiklo shalem, shul chayav shnei kalabonot. Because Rabbi Meir holds that there's two separate charges over here. The Omer Rabbi Meir, kishem shishiklo Torah, kach kalabonot Torah. The same way that a person has to give his makas shekel. Midiraisa. He has to give a single kalabon for his makas hashekel. Midiraisa. The Tani, Rabbi Meir Omer, ki min matbeya shal esh, hotzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitachat kisei kvodo. Ve'er eilu Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out the equivalent of a shekel, makas hashekel, and he showed Moshe Rabbeinu, ve'amar lo zeyitnu, ka zeyitnu. You have to be certain that the coin that you're giving is perfect. Like this ideal coin. So it takes out an ideal. This is the Platonic Matzah Shekel. So in order to make your real Matzah Shekel, the ideal Matzah Shekel, you have to add the kalabon. So then you get into the problem of the exchange. That's a different issue.
How does this visual infer the weight? I mean, you look at it, okay, I can see the shape or the sora, what's on the thing, you know, the guy's head, whatever. I mean, how does that infer the weight? What's it showing the coin itself?
You mean you think that a good simulation doesn't include the gravity? Oh, man. Natan Sela.
Does any sharp element of image imply more weight?
More implies.
Okay, it is more weight.
We have set weights and measures that are stored for us to be able to be covert for the future.
We're just used to cheapo simulations because we haven't figured out a way to get smellies and pulleys and so on and so forth. But when the movies really get on, man, you go on a ride, you know, you'll feel gravity pulling you down and you'll lose consciousness. What do you mean?
Isn't that called light?
Yeah.
So the Kalman is to make up for the differentiation in the way.
Mm-hmm.
We have set weights and measures for
no,
person.
One. One of the kalabons.
One kalabon per.
No.
Per person.
Besides that, how about the exchange? Well, Rabbi Meir is going to be mavato on exchange. Nachum already wanted exchange. He would also need an exchange.
Okay. We have set weights and measures for sites when we were able to have a basis for what should be done.
Of course, in Paris.
But yes, absolutely. And do we have that the way we also so that we can say that we actually are able to more comprehend what weight goes with what, or just according to the measurements, seems transferable.
So now the Mishnah continues. Natan Sela Litol Shekel. Somebody expects change from the Gizbar. So he gives him a shekel and he sticks out his hands for knocks a shekel back. Okay. Chayiv Shnei Kalabon. In that case, he's going to have to pay a double kalabon. Omer Rabbi Elazar, then that must be Rabbi Meir. In other words, Rabbi Meir says, look, you have to pay separately for the kalabon, that's the value, that's your value-added tax on your matzah shekel. Plus, you're also asking the gizbar to be your banker, so pay him what you pay the bank. You'll pay the bank a kalabon just for the exchange. You got to pay for the exchange. So therefore, you're going to pay two kalabonis. I guess, I mean, what other meaning would there be in a mission of paying shnei kalabonis? Why is it shnei kalabonis? It's got to be Rabbi Meir. The Tanya Elo Chayavim Bekalabon, that's Kalabon Echad, whereas Rabbi Meir says if you have, in the Reish of the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir said, if two guys get together and they give a shekel coin, so the Tanya Kama says you pay one Kalabon, because that's the money that you saved at the bank. Rabbi Meir says shtei kalabonos. So what's Rabbi Meir saying? You need two kalabonos. In other words, one for each guy. So in which case, in this case, I would expect that you would need one kalabon for the coin or one kalabon for the exchange. Of course, it's a problem, because according to this, Rabbi Meir should have said three kalabonos, which we'll get to. We'll get to in a moment. Omar Rav says, Rav, no. Divrei HaKohi, actually, even the Tanna Kamma is made, then in that case you'd expect two. Because let's say you were being mishtatef with another guy, and you were going to allow Hegdash to keep the shekel. You would still pay the exchange fee, even though Hegdash is not really going to exchange it. Right? Why would they need to exchange it? They'll use the coin. But what you're saying is, since for all intents and purposes, you were taking advantage of Hegdash not giving your makas shekel, pay what you would have paid in the bank. Now, suppose you actually want banking services, then pay real banking services. So pay one for the standard and one for the banking services. Now we got you coming and going. You're taking the exchange and you want a Chatzi Shekel back. So then you actually, you're taking real services for the banks. I mean, if already the Gizmo really changes the coin, so pay it. Thus we have a standardized kalbay when you're taking advantage of saving the money at the bank. And then we have the actual kalbay when you're really doing an exchange at the Hekdesh Bank.
Coin.
And you wonder where the Israelis got it.
Exactly, exactly.
I was thinking this. How does that work? One thing, I paid two challenges.
Was there a standard coin which was it a standard coin which passed down the door, or was it a piece of silver weight?
No. It's very interesting that there's some Lutainah, that there really is no machlokes between the Gaonim and Rashi. What the Gaonim were saying is that 17 grams of silver is the equivalent in value of the 14.2 gram shekel coin, because the coinage gave the definition as a coin. You always have to add more in the raw metal, because people don't pay as much. As the coin is defined, then you're ready to pay for it as it's defined. As metal, you actually make sure you get the market value of the metal.
So the coin could be worth more than the weight of it.
The coin is worth more than the equivalent weight. So therefore, Tain is rough. Why do you have to say it's going a little bit of a mayor? A little bit of a mayor, maybe you need three. So divrei akoli. The omer of a mayor, echa shekel shu no tein, echa shekel shu no tel. But wait, excuse me, but the echa the divrei teirem, right? So that means al daiti the rav sholish kobanis. That means according to Rav's explanation, that even the Tanakama would be made, then according to Rabbi Meir, you would need three kalban if you expect to get change. One, because that's what it costs. Two, because you use a shekel coin, we have a standard fee for accepting a shekel coin. And three, for exchanging the coin and getting change. So, actually, Rabbi Meir wouldn't be the one who would be saying in the Mishnah two, because Rabbi Meir would hold three. Also, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak b'shem Rav, Sholosh kalban osinan. Indeed, there are three. Echad shekel shenotein, echad shekel shenotel, the echad b'dvar Torah, which is the actual value of the shekel, maksis shekel. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. There you go. Ha'achin v'ashutafim shechayavim b'kalabon keturin yimaseh be'imah. So what are we talking about over here? We're talking about that they went ahead and they split the Yerusha, so the will went to probate, and they now are two separate people. They each have their piece. They were chozer v'nishtatfu. They now made a corporation in which they have their own partnership. So in this case, in a case where they would be chayovim, they would be chayovim. Or part of Rimaisibahima, that's Kishikhoku, the Khozru Vinishtat. Then they now are Shutafim. But when it says Shakayavim Baser Behima, Upturimina Kalbon, that's talking about that they never went through the legal process of splitting, and they set up a partnership which isn't really a partnership, it's just a continuation of the estate, because nobody's ever established individual ownership. A partnership is where you have two individual owners who now participate together. Over here they actually never became Makuchos, so they were always basically brothers. Amar Rabbi Elazar, the only time that we say this is Vein Shechilku Gidim Kineged Tayashim, V'Tayashim Kineged Gidim. When do we say that the will or the estate that is split is considered to be the equivalent of buying and selling, so that they now establish ownership, which turns them into lekuchot? Only where we needed to do a court-supported evaluation and buying out. So in other words, you say, I'll take the gedim, and in exchange, you take the tayashim of equal value. So then we understand that split really means that my original ownership of the gedim is being transferred to you in exchange for your ownership part of the tayashim. Because obviously we were all originally mixed owners in everything. So if suddenly that becomes yours, this becomes mine, it must have been an exchange. If there's an exchange, then that's business, that's buying and selling, and therefore we have a din of lekuchot. But suppose we basically stick with the original estate. Let's say we have 100,000 sheep, and I say, okay, I'll handle 50,000, you handle 50,000. Nothing changed. The fact that you've established responsibility but no exchange took place, that maintains the estate. You want to call that a partnership, but for all intents and purposes, especially if you hold a brera. Because the older Breira, you say, look, the moment that the father died, so something was made to be split. So whichever ones I end up having are the ones that were meant to be mine. Whichever ones you end up having are the ones that's meant to be yours. Obviously, we can't say meant to when we go to do business with each other. And I say, you take the Tayashim and I'll take them. I mean, that isn't meant to. Mentu is the pshat, whatever chalik ends up being mine, which was always both of ours over here. I'm exchanging my chalik in the tayashim for your chalik in the gediyim, right? So therefore, says Rav Elazar, since I hold a breira, if you ended up just maintaining the same sheep, you take half and he takes half. You take half the gediyim and he takes half the gediyim, and so on and so forth. So then the estate is still here. Im chilku gediyim keneged gediyim, v'tayashim keneged tayashim, hu chilko mishah rishana. This is what the estate always was. So what changed? So the Mela, he would still be in a state of estate, and therefore he would be put from the Kalba, and he would be chayv. Am I saying? On Rabbi Yochanan, that's not true. Any chaluka whatsoever is based not on breira and a maintenance of the estate. It's buying and selling. Because each and every one of you owned each and every animal here. And therefore, if suddenly one of you owns one, and the other one owns the other, it means you sold your piece in the other in exchange for his piece in this.
And you have to pay purchase tax.
And exactly. You now become, yes, you now become a partnership. So, afilu chalku gediim neged gediim, v'tayashim neged tayashim, you are like the kuchot, who have now restructured a partnership, in which case you're potter from meiser, but you become now chayiv in the kalva. Like it says, beferish, in the whole sugya of Maestras, is that actually, halakuach, vishinitan lo bimatanapat pumi Maestras. And I got news for you. Even the animals that were previously chayiv in Maestras, because they were owned now. So now when you exchange your ownership in one for the other, so now, okay, I understand that from this point on, we are partners. And any animals that the partnership now invests in will be partner for Maestras. But certainly, the things that were here before, I'm chayiv in Maestras. Oh, no. Because now you're considered to have bought those animals. And the din is that a lakuach, when you buy an animal, it becomes potter. No, this is for good. You're the potter. So you become potter. Sometimes the good guys win. It always works out the other way. If you buy from him, you're potter.
He didn't give his
wife a yes. You're potter. So. And the truth is, this is true even on fruit. Mikrandin. Yeah. Lakuach is potter. It's only if you grow it.
You can buy
it. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, we were gozer to take, but lakuach, mikrandin is potter. Mini rice. Yeah. Vishinitan lo babatan. I was given to him as a gift. Were you potter from Isabayim? In which case, don't think that we're talking about only future activities of the partnership. Current activities of the partnership are also viewed as having bought what they now own, even though they originally inherited it. It was now bought and sold. Bought and sold.
Does the Bavli hold the same way?
So the Kufa Sefer? Yeah. Again, I think we can. Going back to the beginning, Shinema Lola Kambalano live not by the name. The Elo Shekhayavim, the Kalab and Levin, Israel, the Gene, Mavanim Shukroli, Mavaloka, Nimadashim, Mavanim Tanim, Hashokel, Ayade Kohen, Ayade Isha, Ayade Evad, Ayade Katan, Potur, the Im Shakal, for both two people, Ayadova, Ayade Kaviro, Chayev the Kalab, not only one, Rabbi Meir Amenot, you have two, Hanotin Selav, Hanotel Shekh, Chayev Shne Kalabanos, we'll see it's a Machlokis. Whether that's true, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, I'll leave it to the Tanakam. Hashokel ayyadei oniva, ayyadei shkeinov, ayyadei deniro patur. V'im hilvan chayav. Ha'achin ha'shutafim shechayavim bekalabon p'turim ma'aser beima. U'ki shechayavim ma'aser beima p'turim min ha'kalabon. V'kamu kalabon mo'a kesev li Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omim chatzi ma'on. Afa pisha omru. So what are you saying? That you'll be mekabel, but the t'boa ain't tovim. So make up your mind. Yes. Kan Mishavishte Sarov, Kan Mishaloivishte Sarov. Hanokri Vakuti Omrabiva, Tipater Kaband Yama Kuti Kenokri. Because after all, it's an old Machlokas, Kuti Kenokri Vrebi, Ripshim Yomliolomir Kuti Yisrola called Dover. Omar Rabbi Elazar, no. The Mishnah is referring to Nokri. But Enachinami, or Kutim Lo. But Tony came. Adam, the rabbi to Tagirin, so we would accept from Kutim. Mikam lotzidam mumarim. Now Matnikin seems obviously to be against Rabbi Elazar. It says in the kabbalim yadam kinezav and zavas kineyoldos. Explain to me how that could be referring to goyim. V'chiyesh kinezavim v'zavas benochrim. So what are you going to see? That the Reish is talking about Nochrim, and then it goes on to be talking about Kutim. Okay? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bitchila, Ain Mekablim, if you're going to build a Beit HaMikdash, Lo Davar Mesuyam, Velo Davar She'ena Mesuyam. However, once it's built, Basof, Mekablim, Mayam Davar She'eno Mesuyam, but Ain Mekablim, Mayam Davar Mesuyam. Whereas Reish Lakish says it doesn't make any difference. Bein Bitchila, Bein Basof, Ain Mekablim, Mayam, Lo Davar Mesuyam, Velo Davar She'eno Mesuyam. Now the Matnita is Plige al Rabbi Yochanan, because it says in the kabbalah in the hegdish unedava leberek abayit. No, he says, but the ben mitchil ben besov b'vad davar mesuyam, which is true. Whereas Reish Lakish would say ben mitchil ben besov in the kabbalah lo medavar mesuyam v'lo davar she'ena mesuyam. Matznit in this polygal Reish Lakish, because we'd say in Erechin that hakol shavim shenodim v'nidarim. What does nodim v'nidarim mean? It means that they can give money, domim, to the Berek Abayit. No, says Reish Lakish, not what it means. Pota lo ba'ola, nu. That you could say for no dream, ola, but ni dream, ola. What does that mean? That means, kisham Yisrael, re alai ola. V'shama nochri, v'amar masha amar ze alai. At that point, he's in need there. V'eno mevihimo nisachim, umota nisachim, lo l'kli sharetimon. Which turns out that nimtza maybe it should say, doba she'ino misuyam, which is a problem to Reish Lakish. Furthermore, Eitiv Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Bon, Tanina Ne'arachin V'Orachin, doesn't that money go to the Berek Abayit? No, he didn't have money. Indeed they are. But Mata Tamil Kaman, the Shemayim Mitkan, Umeleim Hin Ba'im Berek Abayit, Kena Tomar Afacha. Just like you're ready to understand over there that the Goy didn't donate that money to the Berek Abayit, we did. So too over here, he had in mind the Shemayim. He's paying up. I didn't read the Gro, but you know, you'll put it in, all right? Because that was the other question, which you know, we just avoided. The other question was that we're having this Nesachim. Acher Kach, that we take it goes to Klisharit. So I just left out that piece. But, so, Afach al Shemayim mitkabim eleim eboim le Klisharit. Reish Lakish Patalah, the Pasik, Lola Kamalan, if not Bayat Lelahino, across the board, says Reb Chilki on Rabbi Simon, Sha'al Me'ata, that obviously Ein Mekablim Mem La'amata Mayim Lachumata Migdolotea, because the same Pasik continues on, V'lachem Ein Chelek, Pirushalayim. Now, here we better, it's such a big piece, we'll go to the Grove. My time in Rabbi Meir, Sav Rabbi Meir, Ashoko Shiklo Shalem, Chayev Shte Kalabonot, Yom Rabbi Meir, Kishem Shishiklo Torah, Kach Kalabonot Torah, Tani Rabbi Meir, Eimer, Kimin Madbea Shal Eish, Etzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitachat Kisei HaKavod, Verei Lo Moshe, Vomar Lo, Ze Yitnu, which means Kazeh Yitnu. Natan Sela Lito Shekel, Chayev Shte Kalabonot, Om Rabbi Lazar, this only makes sense according to Rabbi Meir. The Tani Elu Chayavim Kalabosh Rabban Echad Rabbi Meir Meshtei Kalabanot Amar Rav. No, this piece is the Reyak Kol. I don't see really that it's kedai to read it with Rabbi Meir. Amar Rabbi Meir. This is you should be Echa Checker should not think Echa Checker should not tell. So if we want to put in Rabbi Meir, then this piece belongs with the next piece. I'll write to the Rav. Shalosh Kabones Ina, which then Rabbi Meir would say that you need Echad the Divrei Torah plus Echad Shekel Shenotein veEchad Shekel Shehunotel. So we'd have to play games with that a little bit. Okay. So the Gra does. In other words, the Gra takes Rav, puts the Echad Shekel Shenotein Echad Shekel Shenotel into the words of Rav, answering it, I'll leave it to Kulayama. And then goes back, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, and says just that last piece, which is then I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, it's Sholesh, because it's not really I'll leave it to Rav. Right? That makes much more sense. So once Rav has said that the Chachamim hold Echad Shekel Shenotel, Echad Shekel Shenotein, inserting that into Rabbi Meir, we end up with three. And indeed Rabbi Meir says three. Echad Shekel Shenotein, Echad Shekel Shenotel, Echad Divrei Torah. Also, Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Shmuel bar Yitzchak b'shem Rav, Shloshe Korbanos Hinan, Echad Shekel Shenotein, Echad Shekel Shenotel, VeEchad LeDvar Torah. Hachinu Ashutafim, Shchayavim b'Kalabon, Ketuvim b'Maaser b'Ema. That's talking about where first they were Chelek b'Yerusha, Then they became shutafim. And then when it says shechayonim b'maaseh b'hem apturim in hakalaba, that's talking about when they never split the estate. Omer Rabbi Lazar, but you have to make clear what it means to split an estate. Splitting a state means shechilku gdim k'neged tayashim and tayashim k'neged gdim. Aval im chilku gdim k'neged gdim and tayashim k'neged tayashim. So that was always a state. Leku chilku mishar rishona. And in essence, the estate remains. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, not true. Afilu chilku gdim neged gdim v'tayashim neged tayashim. Ha'achim k'leku chotein. Therefore, if they're closer v'ni shtatfu, they're pturim min amaser. Not only that, they're even putter on what was already there from before. Halakuach, which should be found on the matana, but to remember, sir, being on.